There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday, halfway through the week, and lots to talk about on today's show. You're a big part of the show. When you text in, call in at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, lots of ways to reach out to us. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. The stories we talk about here on the show, you can catch over on our Facebook page, interact with them over there. Also, on the Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5. I've not been banned there yet, but we'll get a little bit of that coming up later in the hour. Also, you can check us out by going to the podcast page through our website, fmtalk1065.com. And a lot to get into, and we'll get into some of the stories that are top of the stack on our website at fmtalk1065.com. I mean, we could go back if you want to revisit yesterday for some reason, if you want to. Today will be, until something changes, probably the final day to revisit the Drag Queen Story Hour until next week. Okay, so but you can. We can do that this hour. Also on my list, though, big-time Mississippi lottery bill may soon be signed into law. Is it time for Alabama to do the same? Right now, 95% of y'all on our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK say yes, Alabama needs to vote on having a lottery. That doesn't mean yes or no. That means a vote. Do you believe there should be a vote here in the state? And we'll get to that. And also, you know, it's not often, like maybe once a year or something, and nothing against her. I mean, heck, she's on our station. But, you know, the kind of the stories that Laura Ingraham picks, and I also do more state and local stories, do national ones as well. But, you know, I often don't come on and say, yeah, what she said. But I am this morning saying, yeah, or this afternoon saying, yeah, what she said. This monkeying around story is the dumbest thing I think I've heard in a long time. I'm going to let y'all respond to that as well, coming up in just a little bit. But first, talk about this story. And yes, Dalton can probably call him and see if I'm not joking. I've been stuck in here watching financial television over the last hour, getting ready for the show. I am absolutely a civilian greenhorn. Wet behind the ears, knee booter, you know, been a casual investor for a couple decades. And don't listen to anything I say, because, you know, there's people that, you know, have forgotten more this morning about trading out there than I'll ever know. So I don't purport to be anything, but I am very interested in it. It is one of the things that I like to watch. And I'm watching the Dow, I'm watching the NASDAQ, watching those numbers right now, setting new highs, just ripping it up. And of course, this started earlier this week when President Trump was talking about the USMCA. Right, it used to be NASDAQ. Now, I don't know what they're going to end up calling it, but the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement that's still just in the wet ink stage. But the market has liked that, and there's been other things that have come out that are driving the market today. And it is interesting to watch these runs and watch what's happening with deflationary pressure on the dollar, watching what's happening in energy and what's happening in stocks right now. I think if you're looking at what's good for President Trump, good for the country, on the business front, you're watching it right now. And I want to get into this just for a second here. Just spare me a second to talk about financial stuff, and then we'll get into all the he said, he said, all that kind of stuff. But I think this is pretty interesting. Story posted up yesterday morning by the folks over at MarketWatch. It says, the chart of shame, the S&P 500 versus everyone who said the market was about to crash. Now, I got to tell you, the more excited people get about the market, the more they're jumping up and down on CNBC and Fox Business, and the more they're just, oh, it's great, the more I start worrying and start to pull back. But that's just my personality, and it's quite often people who know more than me are still very excited. But I think it is interesting in the year span, 2 year span, to look at the people that talked about the market collapsing compared to what it's done. And this story, like I said, from MarketWatch, Sean Langley filed it, said, let's call it the chart of shame. John Borman, technical analyst and portfolio manager for Broadsword Capital, has been tracking this bear versus the S&P 500 battle for a while now, and needless to say, it's been a lopsided affair. Borman, in his chart of the day highlighted in their Need to Know column, calls out the likes of former Congressman Ron Paul. And once again, you know, I'm going to gig things that need gigging here. Ron Paul, who last year forecasted a 50% correction. MarketWatch's own Paul Farrell, who predicted a 100% risk of a 50% crash if Trump would win the nomination. Then there's the epic sell everything call from RBS back in January of 16. Jeff Gundlach said that a few months later. The most recent fail came from Morgan Stanley, which forecasted the selling has just begun back in July. Remember July correction? Which happens when everybody gets too excited. You get too excited, and then the backhand comes into the market. They go on to say in this MarketWatch piece, one thing they all have in common, complete wrongness. Borman, in a blog post accompanying an earlier iteration of the chart, trying to soften the blows, landed on his bear beatdown. But they said the bears will undoubtedly have their moment, but that moment is not today. S&P and NASDAQ Composite have extended their push into uncharted territory, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average edged within 2% of its all-time high. So and that was filed yesterday morning, and it continues to surge today. Like, once again, if you think the party never ends, you're obviously not a student of even recent history. So these people think it's just going to be all good times all the time. I don't know who they are. I don't know if I've met them, but they're probably out there. But what I'm pointing out here is this is when people look at 2018, and I know there's some stats and some people that are analyze this stuff all the time and look at this Republican bloodbath in 2018. If you link people that are in midterm running in for House seats or Senate, if you link them to President Trump, I think it helps them maybe. With this economy. It depends on the state. And we'll talk about this in the Florida situation here shortly. But the market, right? I mean, I keep going back to the old tome, James Carville, right? It's the economy, stupid. It's my best James Carville. It is the economy, stupid. And when this happens, now, can this go on forever? No. When does the bottle stop? When does the merry-go-round stop spinning? I don't know. But right now, this economy is surging, and you have new information coming in every week, every 2 weeks, that continues to fuel the engine of this economy. It's happening right now. Once again, this is making no recommendation to do anything with the nickel in your pocket. Please don't take my word for it. I just thought it was interesting, and a call out of those people that are pretty smart people in their own right in the trading world that talked about an immediate bear market, a 50% correction, and the market continues to grow. So it's happening right now. So that's why I want to start off with that. Okay, we get back here from the break. We'll get into a couple things. We can talk Alabama Lotto. Also, this monkey story. This one, like I said, I don't often walk in here and say, let me grab that football from Laura Ingraham and keep running with it. But I am today, because good for her. This is the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. This is the problem I have with folks, white people, black people, whatever color, that are, and I'm 46, and it usually is people that are older than me, that are stuck in a time in the past, and that will take something and call it bigoted, call it racist. Most of the time, y'all, we're talking about bigotry, not racism, but they'll call it that when it has nothing to do with it. And what it does is it diminishes the real bigotry that can go on, real racism that can go on. And it gets people all worked up about something that has no point in getting people worked up about. We'll get in the story, let you make the call on that as well. We come back. More of Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll check in with News 5 next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. By the way, too, just a couple more days here to get signed up in our College Pick'em Challenge. Dalton's got details. I linked him through to it. It's on his Twitter feed, at Dalton Norwig. I retweeted him this morning, plus our Facebook page. We are, 122, something like that over there. Get signed up, and we'll pick them each week. There's a bunch of people you hear on the radio as well. They're in the mix. Folks like John Sharp and Jeff Poor, and, of course, Kelly and Dalton and myself. The missus is in the mix as well, all on there doing college pick 'em. So get involved, and then we'll trash talk each week. But you got to get involved before the games start on Saturday. The link is up on our website or on our Facebook page and on my Twitter feed, and Dalton's is the easiest way to go, at Dalton Norwig. All right, so here's a story that I'm picking up from, you know, I was already had it on my list, and I heard Laura Ingraham talk about it, and good for her, because this one, I think we need to talk about it. I may come at it a little differently than some others, and I would point out that there still is bigotry. There, you know, I use that term versus racism. I guess there's racism too, but most times it's bigotry out there. But there's a danger when you call everything that. And we're going to analyze this logically, and I'd love to hear from you on it as well. The story goes this way, because we were talking about Ron DeSantis this morning, Representative Ron DeSantis. We were talking about him with Jeff Poor, about his chances, and he was giving us kind of some look at Florida politics. It's pretty interesting. DeSantis being the Trump or the populist Republican candidate in Florida, and his opponent here, who is the mayor of Tallahassee, Andrew Gillum, who is the populist or the kind of the Bernie Sanders flavored Democrat. I think the takeaway story we should be talking about today, but we're into this, is the fact that look at Florida. And how about the fact that neither establishment person, in other words, who the Democrat establishment would be or the Republican establishment would be, those are not the people that are leading the way here in this. The story goes this way, and this is from thehill.com. It says, Representative Ron DeSantis on Wednesday warned Florida voters not to monkey this up, quote, there, by voting for his Democrat gubernatorial opponent, Andrew Gillum, a comment that prompted fierce backlash. But let's do this. Let's play the entire clip here, unlike other groups out there. We'll play you the entire clip. So here's Ron DeSantis yesterday evening.
Well, look, I mean, this is Florida elections are always competitive. And, you know, this is a guy who, although he's much too liberal for Florida, I think he's got huge problems with how he's governed Tallahassee. You know, he is an articulate spokesman for those far left views, and he's a charismatic candidate. And, you know, I watched those Democrat debates. None of that was my cup of tea. But I mean, he performed better than the other people there. So we've got to work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida.
Okay, so there's the clip. There's the clip that has people talking. I got to tell y'all, even in today's world, I'm really surprised that this got any kind of traction. First of all, if we want to go through and diagram the sentences, diagram the paragraphs, the reference there to monkeying it up is the people in Florida making a vote that would do away with what DeSantis is saying is the building economy, right? I mean, what, like it's even a stretch at that point to me. But they go on that, you heard some of the clips earlier, people saying this is directly racist. It's a dog whistle, right? A dog whistle out there for the bigots, for the racists. So DeSantis won his GOP primary on Tuesday. He'll be running against, the kind of the Cinderella story here of Andrew Gillum, the mayor of Tallahassee, who was not the Democrat machine in Florida's first pick. So he wins. So you have populist Democrat, populist Republican. I think that should be what is being talked about this morning. I think that's interesting. And like we talked about this morning, is this a preview of 2020 in the presidential stakes? But that clip, and here we go. So the Democrats are upset about this, and here's their launching the attack here. They said the first one here for Florida Democrat. Democratic Party Chairwoman Terry Rizzo slammed DeSantis after the interview, said it's disgusting that Ron DeSantis is launching his general election campaign with racist dog whistles. Jeff Bergen, Gillum's campaign spokesman, told Tallahassee Democrat that his campaign was letting Rizzo respond to DeSantis' comments. He said DeSantis' comments speak for themselves. if you're going to say that, then I don't think they say anything bigoted. DeSantis' campaign quickly pushed back on critics, saying it was absurd to claim the Florida Republican was doing anything other than criticizing Gillum's agenda. Said Ron DeSantis was obviously talking about Florida and not making the wrong decision to embrace socialist policies that Andrew Gillum espouses. To characterize it as anything else is absurd. Florida's economy has been on the move for the last 8 years. The last thing we need is a far-left Democrat trying to stop our success. So there's a comment back. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't see it. And I'm going to open up phone lines. If you do, I'd love to talk to you. 343-0106, 343-0106. I think it does a disservice to those that are trying to fight real bigotry in this country when you jump on a bandwagon on something like this. And to go back through, I can do the same thing. You know, Laura Ingraham's talked about that she was called a monkey or monkeying around. Well, first of all, it went to my generation. So my parents still use that term with me. And I'm 46. And I use that term with my children. I use that term all the time, actually. I mean, around where, don't monkey that up. That's monkeyed up. The just genius comedy of a monkey screeching. How many times have we used that in the show? I mean, I don't know. I don't get. I think what this is my frustration with, and I see it here locally, I see it at state level, I see it at national level, those that are older and living in another time, that are, you know, wanting to make it, that may be true bigots. They're trying to make it, but leave the rest of us out of it. You know, leave the rest of us out of it. If he would have said, I mean, if DeSantis, if y'all been listening to the show any period of time, if he was, I'm not a flagman for DeSantis. If you ever heard me be a conservative guy, I'm no flagman for any party. You know, I'm not a joiner by nature. But I'm not here to defend any particular candidate, but I am going to defend what's right and wrong. And what I heard right there was a guy just talking about Florida politics. No dog whistle. No bigoted slant. Just him talking about the economy. But it sounds like that's what... I'd love to hear from all sides on this. And if you think you heard something that was... And then let me analyze this for logic for just a second. You're a politician trying to get elected governor of the state of Florida. Okay? Governor of the state of Florida. Florida is what? Purple state? One would argue you have... the purple I-4 corridor, you have the red of the northern panhandle of Florida being pretty solidly Republican, but not always. Look at Tallahassee. Look where Andrew Gillum's mayor, capital of the state, pretty blue. You have southern Florida below the I-4, usually going for Democrats. You have pockets of, it's not monolithic because you have pockets of Republicans in southeast Florida down in Dade County. You have a lot of blue down there, too. And you have pockets of blue like Tallahassee and other areas up in the red. So it is a purple state. What would be the benefit? The primary is over. If you think this is this dog whistle, this bigoted dog whistle, what would be... This is what nobody's talking about. Laura Ingraham didn't talk about it. None of the national shows talk about it yet. What would be the strategy there if you want to get bigots to come vote for you? That would be some kind of play that you would make in a primary, right? Why would you be making that in the general? I mean, the theory is all wet. Go to the phones. 343-0106, 343-0106. Billy is in Bay Minette and up first. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Doing good.
Well, Sean, dang, long day.
Yeah.
basically, you know, I think as a conservative, that we conservatives feel almost like we can say things that are borderline, you know, bigoted, or, you know, not necessarily even meant to be bigoted, but borderline. Like, I worked with a whole bunch of black people at Standard Furniture, and, you know, I would say things that, you know, normal people would say, just not meaning anything, and they would take it offensively. I feel like we cross this line of, you know, not caring what people think. Like, that's why I think that Trump needs to be wise about what he says. Same thing with DeSantis. I personally will not vote for any person that Trump supports in that way if they're going to go out there and say stupid things, if they're not going to care about what is being said.
So do you think that DeSantis was dog whistling there?
No, I think he could have said it more wisely. I don't think that there was anything bad there.
Doesn't that show, though, in a weird way? So here's one of those weird theories that gets me in trouble. People that would, if there's a term like that, that to me, did it have racist connotations in the past? Maybe people used it, but that's the past. If you worry about that, something that is not a bigoted comment in today, and you worry about that, that shows me you're thinking about it. If somebody's a bigot in their heart, I'm going to call them out. You listen to the show for any period of time, I think you know that's true. But if somebody's just talking and they don't have that in their heart, then if you're going to skewer them for everything they say like that, then people are going to just be, they're going to shut up, or you're going to run people away. You're going to squash the discussion.
Oh, absolutely. But you also have to realize in what day and age we are. You can't just go out and say whatever you want to say. I mean, you have to realize that
you have to
tiptoe lines in certain areas, certain ways. If I go into an area where it's mostly like predominantly African American, I'm not going to say what he said. I'm not going to say certain things because it touches and hits a bad line.
But
have to tiptoe. I'm not saying you can't, you know, say what you want to say, but you got to be more careful. You got to be wise.
Okay, and fair enough. And Billy, I'm up against a hard break. I appreciate your call. And what you're saying, and I hear you. I just don't feel that for me. I know what you're saying, but I'm somebody that judges somebody's heart. I mean, if somebody is a bigot, they can use some other word, and they're still a bigot, right? If somebody's not a bigot, then they... I'm not... And where is the scheme for that? How does that help them?
Widow. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1234 FM Talk 1065 Midday Mobile Wednesday style. By the way, too, looks like you got 95% of y'all think state should be able to vote on the lottery. KIV, if you're looking, it's on our website, online opinion poll question. Should the state get a vote for the lottery now that it looks like Mississippi, which makes more sense. If you're going to gamble, just gamble. I mean, Mississippi said that we're all in. We're just, you know, table games, sports betting, lottery, betting on which square the chicken would poop in, something. Listen, just bet on it, whatever it is. That makes more sense to me. That's clearer. And by the way, too, looking through the text, I can't get to all y'all right now. They're flying in here. But I'm gonna bring, you've heard my burqa theory. Go ahead and misquote me on this one. Sullivan wants to impose a portion of Sharia law in the United States. And that Sharia law is, I want people in burqas when it comes time for election. I just want to see people's qualifications. You know, what their plan is to fix whatever it is. Let everybody vote on them. Give them a number. You know, I vote for number 3, all right? Number 4. 17's my candidate. Whatever it is. And then, you know, because it seems like there's a whole bunch of folks who just want to obsess on the skin color. Then you have a big reveal. Ah, well, you know what? The person who thinks like you on these 80% of the issues or 70% of the issues, you voted for them. They don't look like you, or they do look like, because who cares? Obviously, a lot of people do. Let's go to the phones here at 343-0106, and Wayne is in Satsuma. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good, man.
Wanted to call in. You know, really, I think, you know, the word police that we're talking about here, you know, there's actually a couple of groups, and I think the first one is, you know, from a political standpoint, what they use the racist label for is just to absolutely shut down any dialogue.
Because only if
they
you let them.
Fix,
if only if you
fix
let somebody
that label to you,
right?
Then they don't have to argue with you. You don't have a point of view, and you know you're automatically shunned.
Well, okay, yeah. You're, and the problem is on the flip side of that coin. The way I see it is the more that this is used when real bigotry comes up. When real racism comes up, then you get a group of people that aren't going to pay attention, that might be fair-minded people, but they're like, ah, it's just more of the same. When
right.
you're going, no, actually, that over there is real bigotry.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's used a lot now, way too much in politics. But now the other group, the second group that I really think is even more of a threat, there are legitimately people that feel like the entire population, white population of this country, they're all racist.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, it was about 3 weeks ago, we had one weekend, had the PGA Championship on, and this is when they were hammering Trump about being a racist. And in turn, you know, they insinuate that everybody that's white is a racist. And I was amazed that weekend because as that was going on in the political world, I watched the PGA Championship, and you can't find a sport that's more white than golf. It doesn't exist. And
but it's dominated by a man who's not white. But yes, okay, go ahead.
Tiger was in contention in that championship, and the entire field that was there, you know, they were pulling for him. And I think it's ridiculous for people, you know, to make blanket statements about an entire race, be it white or black.
Well said. Well said, Wayne. And also, just on the strategy side, y'all help me with this. Somebody can offer something here. If you think there's some dog whistle going on here, wouldn't he be dog whistling? Wouldn't it be he won the primary? So if he was some closeted bigot, then why would he bring that up for the general? I just don't get that. As Texter says, there ain't nothing wrong with saying monkey in and monkeying around. I tell that to my grandkids every day. I tell them to go clean their room and stop monkeying around. It's time for you to go, or it's time for you to go back home. Oh, the grandparent threat to send you home. By the way, I'm 46, and I still get told I'm monkeying around with stuff by my parents. All right. Look, my buddy Mr. Happy checking in. Hey, Mr. Happy.
Sean.
Yes.
Long time, brother. How you doing?
It's been too long. You have not seen you. You're hiding out from me, man.
I know, but a couple of things. It's just, you said this dog whistle, but once again, put yourself in the other party. I guess the African American who's listening to that.
Okay? Right, and you know, I try to do that, but I often say I'll try, but I fail because I can only imagine, but I don't know.
But you can't, Sean.
But can you put yourself in Ron DeSantis' shoes? Why? You know, I mean, do you think he's a bigot?
I don't know, but I think him being an educated man, a military man, he could have used a better choice of words. I mean, because he knew this is going to be that comment, it was going to blow up in his face. I mean, he was just totally stupid for using that comment.
I disagree with that, but let's say he was. So if he used another word, it bothers me, though. You know this about me. It bothers me when people are checking how I watch it with people that I think may have a bigoted bone in their body, check how they talk because they're worried about letting, you know, out something. That worries me when people do that.
What's the old saying? You can make chicken salad out of chicken.
Yeah.
You know, all right. And that's the case for this. All right. The other thing is, I was going to make a. I guess we were talking about, I guess early this morning, about the Katrina. I don't know if you remember or did you ever travel, but I was, you know, in my past life, uh-huh, I traveled, but I can remember the I-10 span over in Pascagoula near the shipyard. That was a shrimp boat wedged against the bridge over there.
Yep.
Over there near Ingalls.
Yep.
And also the surge that did it. So that was, for me, that was quite an experience. It looked like somebody took a big push broom from the Mississippi Gulf Coast and just took it and put all the trash against I-10.
That's the best analogy. I hadn't thought it is. I mean, that's right. A push broom. Right. And I think, you know, a lot of people here were busy taking care of themselves after the storm, maybe giving to help out people in Mississippi and Louisiana, but they weren't going over there, or people that are new here didn't see it. Like you, I saw it, and you had to have seen it to you know, understand what we understand about what the people in Mississippi suffered there. I mean, people all over suffered from it, but I just feel like, you know, national media does not understand what happened along the Mississippi coast.
I do, and just being working over there, like I said, in my past experience, I knew what it is, and I knew it was hit hard from Bay St. Louis over to Gulfport, Biloxi.
I mean, but, blocks, you know, back. Blocks, like, it wasn't just the people on the water. I mean, it was like the back and back and back, and they were just leveled.
I mean, even to I-10.
Yeah.
Like I said, you had, even in the Gulfport or near the airport, you had damage from the surge all the way to I-10, and even north of I-10, the water raised so high. But, you know, I just wanted to call in. I hope we stop by, or we'll get together.
Let's come visit. Let's go have dinner. All right.
All right. Have a good one.
Good. I'm using our 50,000 watt radio station. What you and I could just text each other. But thank you. Let's go to Thomas next in Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Sean. Good afternoon. I just wanted to first say happy birthday to your daughter.
Thank you.
And let her know that it's only 4 years before she gets that new sports car.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Two-wheel drive, long bed, pickup.
Auto books and stuff. Hey, listen, I don't think this statement was premeditated at all, but I think he could have, as he was talking, could have stopped from saying it. I remember when I used Monkey for the first time in our conversations about 6 years ago, you said, that's what my dad used to say.
See,
all the time.
Am I making this up? That's what parents call me.
No,
I'm 46. Yeah, they still call me that.
And through the years, you and I both have used that word monkey, and we get that sense of where it originated in our discussions about it.
I
do want to say, if it was a white guy, DeSantis was running against, this wouldn't be a topic, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And I just hate, what I hate is when these things become topics, the other things that make candidates, either the person to vote for or not to vote for, become
One question before I leave and step aside for another caller is, when have you seen the use of the word monkey or gorilla when talking about a black man that's involved in the subject or in the paragraph? You don't see that. Nobody does that. That's what they're grabbing on to.
Okay,
I've
just
never heard somebody say, talk about a black man and then talk about a gorilla.
And Thomas, I appreciate the call, but what I'm trying to get over on this is, if a bigot out there uses the word widget or something, makes up some new, you know, some term, and there's bigotry in their heart, and they're using some other term, they call it whatever term, a schwa. Remember the schwa thing from school we had to learn, children of the 80s, schwa? The schwa. But now schwa in an underground means something bigoted. That's the person I'm worried about. The person that doesn't have a bigoted spirit, who says, which he didn't even refer that way. I mean, we'll go back and play the clip again. He's saying that the voter shouldn't be monkeying around with what's happened with Florida. He's painting this picture, the economy's good, these things. If he says that without the bigoted bone, what? It's. I can understand people saying, listen, he could have chosen a better word. Okay, maybe. But if you have to word police yourself, now, if they say something expressly bigoted to me, then I'm going to call them out. But that somebody has to be, and also strategically, please ask yourself this. I would like to get somebody to comment on this. Strategically, if Ron DeSantis is this big, I don't know him. I'm not here for Ron DeSantis. I'm here because I see something going on that I think is wrong. I don't care. It's Florida politics, okay? But this is something I think is wrong. And if he had some, you know, dossier of being a bigot from way back, well, then it'd be different, okay? But in this case, where would the strategy be? Seriously, just take yourself out of emotion and go into strategy. If his strategy is to get elected governor of the state of Florida, with people look all different kinds of ways, and he's now moved on, matriculated from the primary to go to the general, why would he be dog whistling to bigots? How would that work? How does that benefit him? David's in Mobile.
Sean, let's talk strategy. This is strategy on the Democrats' part, not Ron DeSantis' part, because the guy that they nominated last night is one of the most progressive Democrats that they've nominated in a purple state in a while. And the only way progressives can win in a state like Florida is one of two ways, and that's either depress the turnout for your opponent or run up the turnout for yourself. And the one issue you can do both better than anything else is the race issue. So they're grasping at straws, trying to paint DeSantis as a racist, you know, because he was endorsed by Trump, to try to depress his turnout like they did with Roy Moore, and run up their turnout like they did with Doug Jones in Alabama last year.
And quite possibly so. But in doing that, yeah, I'm here because I see it two ways. I'm not just people want to rally around a campfire. I'm not rallying around a campfire. I'm trying to point out truth. And because I think the danger of this, too, is if this becomes the new standard for bigotry, then you have people start rolling their eyes, going, give me a break. And then when real bigoted stuff happens, then people are like, that's just more of the same.
Well,
it dilutes, you know, the real conversation.
Well, what's going to end up happening is the left is going to start using standards like this more and more often to try to win more and more races, and it's going to become the boy that cried wolf, and people are going to stop listening to it, or they're going to actively vote against the people that the left is bringing up as this is racist or whatnot, and then that's going to open the door for real bigots and real racists to actually make some headway into elected office.
All right, we'll grab more calls on the backside of the break at 343-0106, 343-0106. Works for the phone and the text line. All right, website fmtalk1065.com. We'll be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. We're coming to the phones in 2 seconds here. Actually, I'm going on the phone right now to talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins because he's going to do some math with us. You said we're going to be talking about fractions, man. That was not one of my better fractions. That was not good for me in school.
Oh, I understand that, Sean. Actually, not just fractions, but fractional gold coins. You know, people think about a gold coin. They think about an ounce of solid gold. Well, the U.S. Mint, Canadian Mint, they make half ounce, quarter ounce, and 1/10 ounce gold pieces as well. And quite frankly, right now, I need a bunch of the smaller size gold coins. So anybody with some of the small size gold coins, you got 10th ounce, quarter ounce, half ounce, they need to come by the shop because some of those coins are actually paying full spots. And nothing back a spot. Some of those items I'm paying full spot on right now.
So you're in a buying mood.
Yes, sir. I am definitely in the mood to buy gold and do fractions with you. So, math class at Mobile Bay Coins.
I love it. All right. Tell people how those coins or may want to come out and buy some other coins themselves or some great gift items, how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go on to Facebook and like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
All right. Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. You know, I was good, like, basically identifying fractions I could do, but remember when you had to start doing the fraction conversions and all that? Oh, well. 1253, I'll go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106, and let's go to Troy in Mobile first. Hey, Troy.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, that's your Sullivan?
That was my dad. Yeah, just Sean. Yeah.
Okay, Sean. My point is that people are trying to turn this into a racial thing, which I think happens too much nowadays. I think there's a sort of a degenerating standard for what applies, what actually is considered racism and not nowadays, and that has to do with a political ploy, really, on the part of the Democrats. I think people are forgetting here that monkeying around, which is a term that my family has used before.
Okay, so I'm not alone.
So monkey around with this.
I'm not alone. So your my family loves it. So I mean, I've been, like I said, I'm 46 and I still get that from my parents. But
yeah, I mean, it's an innocuous term. What people are forgetting here is that it doesn't have a racial connotation. It's not comparing, you know, monkeys to black people or anything like that. What it's trying to say is that monkeys are foolish animals, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
It means stop fooling around with this and that. That's why people don't say stop bearing around or tigering around.
Right. You can act like a bear if you're cranky, but if you're, you know, if you're messing up all, like I often use it with reference to the cushions on the couch with my children. Quit monkeying around with the cushions on the couch. They're supposed to sit on there a certain way. That's probably a once a week conversation.
Exactly. It's an innocuous term. Anybody that thinks otherwise needs to just look at, turn on the TV and watch National Geographic for a while, you know?
There you go. Troy, well said. Man, I appreciate it. I mean, this is, once again, I mean, I'm asking a couple questions that I haven't really gotten any direct answers to. Number one, from a strategy, and David answered it and said it's not. It's a strategy coming from the Democrats, and I hear you. But if you're saying that DeSantis was using it as a strategy, if you're somebody who believes that, what strategy is that? If you believe he's a bigot, what would he be doing in the general? Like, how would that benefit him? What would that do? And then, is it the word, or I'm most obsessed on this with what's in people's hearts. So if they come up with some other term, widget or schwa or whatever, quit schwawing around, but in their heart they have a bigoted thought, then the new word is the bigoted thing. And yes, you can quote me. Hopefully I'll show up on you know, AL Newswire or Alabama Daily News or something, if y'all would have misquote me, I am hoping to bring back or bring in some portion of Sharia law. I believe everybody should be wearing burqas during election season. I mean, wouldn't it be? I mean, then we'd have like a big TV reveal component to it as well. You'd vote for the people, would come out, they'd tell you what they're about. Yeah, you make your votes, and then they look like you, or they don't look like you, or who cares? They're gonna, you know, go to Montgomery or go to Washington or, you know, go to Tallahassee and do what you want them to do. At least most of the time, right? All right, coming up next hour, a couple things we're going to talk about. My buddy Cam Marston, whose show What's Working is on at 6 o'clock every Wednesday night here at FM Talk 106.5. He's going to join me in the second half of the hour. Lots to talk about with him. And when we come back, we will get into an event coming to town. And if you have you have children that do this, you may have a coach, somebody at a school to talk about this, because you've got a Super South Regional coming. This is Super South Regional, and it is, let's see, the South Region includes schools from down in our area the whole way up to Montgomery, Auburn, Tuscaloosa, Demopolis, Dothan, and even Leeds. It's split like the North-South Region in football, and this is through the AHSAA. Any school that's in the AHSAA can participate in this, and this is the cheer competition. So cheerleaders coming to town November 7th at the Mobile Civic Center. So you've got to get your school in it, obviously, to get your cheer team in it and win for the state, hopefully bring that trophy back to South Alabama. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a second. We'll be joined by my buddy Danny Cordy, executive director with Mobile Sports Authority, and somebody who knows what she's talking about, Elizabeth Blackburn, cheerleading coach at MGM High School. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit here on the show. And if you got questions on that, you can always drop a line to 343-0106, 343-0106. And reminder, podcast of this show, any of the other shows we do, all the live local shows we do here, you can grab those by going to our website, fmtalk1065.com, clicking the link for podcast, or better yet, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. iTunes for iPhone folks. If you're a Luddite old throwback like me and have a Android phone, the Samsung Galaxy whatever. Oh, I got a cover. I don't know. I think it's a 5. The Galaxy 5 I'm using there. I go to Stitcher. It works great. If you're on Spotify listening to your jams, you could also get our podcast there. And if you use the TuneIn Radio app, which is the best way to listen to us on your smartphone, in addition to being able to stream the station, you can also grab the podcast there. All right, check it all out and get those podcasts and share them out there. Well, it's 12:58. We'll be right back checking with the news next.